concentrate on today is a bunch of things regarding Nirtza, all these things about Nirtza itself. So first of all, Nirtza is the Gematria 345, which is the same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is 345 altogether. These songs answer his greatest question. What was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu had time in and time out? He starts in the end of Parshas Shmos, and it goes all the way until he finally understands it in Hazinu. What question is it? It's a question of, why do bad things happen to good people, and why do good things happen to bad people? He cannot understand God's ways. Hodieni Naz Drachecha, he asks the Kaddish Baruch when he has the extra chance in Parshas Kisisa, and he always wants to know this. Every song, in a certain way, answers that question. We're not. The ultimate question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why does God do what he does?
How is that?
Every single song answers it. The only question is how. Right. Now, I'm not going to go into the first three songs, Adirhu, what's it called? Kilo Noah, Kilo Yoah. Those are very difficult, as well as the what's called the Chayi B'Chatzi Alayla. Those are extremely difficult, and that will take, in and of itself, just to go through them and to explain them, will take entire shirim. Each one will take one shir. Kilo Noah is one of the hardest zmiros I've ever seen in my life. But I don't know who wrote it. I know it's written down somewhere. But Vayi B'Chatzi Alayla is cool. It's what happens on this night. Right. Everything that happened in the middle of the night on that night of Yitzhak. But it's clear that when we get through, we'll see in the end, we're going to see with Chag Gadya, Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. And even though this night is a night of asking questions, we're going to answer the final question with Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to speak, as if Mashiach ben David is going to come and answer all of our issues, that's the idea behind it. And really, Nirtza is Moshe. 345, exactly. Oh, no, that's that. And that's when we do Shir HaShirim. We do Shir HaShirim when we find that love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we've never been able to find before. It could be also that this whole thing is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, having a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a very big kasha where we get it from as a side note. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In the Seder itself, we go through Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah telling you why you have a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Sipur that we have to tell over, the Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where does that come from? That may be considered almost like Gzeres HaKasuv, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, that we have to do. It's not exactly straight out. This is another reason why Nirtza comes at the very end to be able to go through. Rav Wolfson says this is the only Siman of the Seder that doesn't tell you what to do. Think about it. Kaddish, do Kiddush. Orchatz, wash your hands. Yachatz, right, split it. Right? All these things make sense in a way. Karpas is eat the karpas, even though that's not really, but it is the vegetable, right? Nirtza, that doesn't say anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's just ritzei, as in desire, want, try to get connected. But that is the idea. The idea of Nirtza is to want to get closer to Hashem. To want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's called Nirtza. That's the idea behind it. So it is like all the others, like every other siman of the Seder itself. Now, the Maggid of Kuznets says that the reason why we do Echad Miyodea, which is the best song in the world, aside from Chag Gadya, and by far the funnest song, if you have people trying to say it, you know, without taking a breath in between and trying to do all 13, all one breath. I know my dad can do it. I don't know anybody else who's human who has the ability to do that. You know, like some of these guys who like hold their breath for like 16 minutes. But this idea, says the Maggid of Kuznets, is to be Mamshich Deya from the nations of the world. What that means is that it should never be that a person sits there and says, who knows one? And a guy says, Derek Rose's jersey number. That should never be the situation, right? Who knows two? Derek Jeter. I mean, come on, Jeter. Who doesn't know Jeter? How could that be? Like, it can't be that you're going to use these numbers as something to remind you of something else. It should always be the Echad Miyodea, Echad Miyodea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two, what would two be? The only thing that two could stand for is the Luchos HaBris. Very good. The only thing that three could stand for is the Avos, and the four would be. So that's the idea. You're being Mamshich Deya. What? Honey? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, I would assume so. And you've been around for like two or three Siddharm. So that's that. Says the Maggid of Kuznets, you're taking it away from nations of the world and you're using it for yourself. You're grabbing it and saying no longer is it what they think. They think that one is this or two is this. It's not pshat. It's what we have over here. And if you have proper thoughts all night long, if you were able to go through the Seder in the proper way, then it should be automatic that when you get to this song, you cannot think of anything else except for one is Hashem, two are the luchos, three is the elbows, four are the imos. There's nothing else in your head except for this. It should be automatic, and that's, it's almost like a test, Rav Shor says. At the very end of the day, did you do the Seder well or not? If you go up to, I don't know, 11, and you're like, I don't know what 11 would be. What could 11 possibly be? Then you've got that idea. I'm sorry?
If you're doing it by heart?
So to speak, as if you're doing it by heart without looking inside whatsoever. Somebody who claims, I mean, I will tell you, honestly, the hardest thing in the world to come up with 11 stars that were in the dream of Yosef HaTzadik, that's amazing. I would shake your hand to be able to come up with that one. But it's cool. You can go up to what's, who knows 14? Who knows 14? The Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took us out of Mitzrayim. Who knows 15? The 15 simanim of the Seder have become Motzi and Matzah, two separate ones altogether. The 15 Dayenus, the 15 steps leading up to the Beis HaMikdash. Again, as you go through, you should be able to get down the numbers on your own. That's the idea, he says. That's our test. Rav Wolfson says, it's like a wealthy man. You got to stop somewhere. Yeah, you got to stop somewhere. I don't know why 13, but I would assume it's because Echad. Right? Echad, Miodeh, and you're standing with Echad. And Echad is a gematria of 13. I would assume it's just that. Whoever made up the song wanted to end it on sort of like a round robin and wanted to do like that, but I don't have an answer to that. Rolson says it's like a wealthy man counting up his money one by one. Who knows one? Who knows two? He's putting it down, all the different things, in order to see like what he has and how he's been able to culminate everything, etc. So why not start with 13 and go down? Why not do who knows 13, who knows 12, who knows 11, who knows 10, etc.? So the Gemara mentions regarding Pesachim.
Hashem is more than everything else.
But then that doesn't answer the question, though. That is true, but that doesn't answer the question. But there is a demon by the name of Shavriri. Shavriri is what causes blindness at night. It's mentioned in another place as well, I don't remember. But Shavriri causes this blindness. Now, when a person has that blindness, the only way to get rid of it, says the Gemara, is by saying the name of that demon and go down. Shavriri, Riri, Riri, remember it. So Yiri, Ri, and then that's it. And it's gone. You're able to knock it down. The pshat is that when you take things and you break it down to its lowest element, and then you destroy that one element by not saying anymore, it's gone. You're able to knock it down. It's a Kabbalistic concept. The sotu, the exact same thing, goes in building up. You ever? I know you've heard it. I'm not going to say if you ever heard it. Na, nach, nachma, nachman, meuman. That concept is the same concept. You're building up the strength of that person by doing so. You're building up some type of a koach. So I can do the same thing with myself. And then all of a sudden I get a little bit of extra koach and it's right there. It becomes a little bit more powerful in that way. That's the concept of what we have over here. The concept of building it up because it's knocking down. So too with these 13. You go out from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 all the way up to 13. You're building it up until you culminate with the ultimate level, the top level where you're building up everything you have. Is it, so to speak, building up your amunah? That's the idea behind it over here. That's that. The Kedusha Rim says, says the idea, all knowledge has to be sifted through 13 times. And that's the secret behind the Korban Omer. How they used to sift the flour 13 times before allowing that flour to be used to make the Shtei Ha'omer, the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos itself. They did it 13 times. This is the secret behind it, and therefore we go through our heads 13 times. You asked why 13 before. That idea from the Kedusha Rim would explain it, but I'm not so sure I totally understand it. Okay, there's a couple over here. You should just know. 13 brings it back to the beginning. Yeah, we have that as well. Why is it Yom Echad in Maisa Bereishis instead of Yom Rishon? You notice when you go through, what's the second day is called Yom Sheni, then Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, but then it shouldn't be Echad, it should be Rishon. That's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, etc. I'm not a dictative guy, but that's what it's supposed to be. So we say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yochid Ba'ulamo on that day. No Malachim were created on the first day. Malachim were created on the second day. So he was Echad at that moment. So we're asking, it's the beginning, Echad miyodea. Who knows why we use the word Echad and we don't use the word Rishon? Why is it? Because Echad Elokeinu shebashamayim v'aretz, when he created the Shamayim and the Aretz, that's when he was Echad. That's why he wasn't, it's not Rishon, it's Echad. Says the Arvei Pesachim, that's the idea behind Arvei Pesachim, is the name of the 10th Derek of Pesachim. It's also the name of a Sefer, the road on the Haggadah, right? That's the idea as well, what he writes over there. That's an unbelievable idea, but that's by Echad miyodea. Finally, we get to the Chag Gadya. Chag Gadya is awesome. The son of the Korban Nisano says that this poem was found in between the walls of a base medrash in Eretz Yisrael. No one has any idea who the author is. This was not made by Tanoim. This was not made by Amoraim. It was at some point during the times of the Gaonim when somebody found it in Eretz Yisrael, and eventually it made its way to Bavel, because Chag Gadyah makes it throughout Klal Yisrael. That's how amazing this song is. There is no part of Klal Yisrael that doesn't have Chag Gadyah, that doesn't know about Chag Gadyah. It's obviously in Aramaic, which is strange. If it was written in Eretz Yisrael, you'd think there would be written in Hebrew, but for the same reason, Yerushalmi, which obviously was written in Yerushalayim, was written with almost all Aramaic to make sure that the other nations who would have known Hebrew if they lived in Yerushalayim wouldn't be able to read it. So that's why Talmud Babli, which is written in Babel, is mostly Hebrew, said the Babylonians wouldn't be able to read it. It would be something that was relegated only to the Jews and not anything else. So we don't know who the author is and who wrote it, but it was so beautiful, and they saw the Ramazan behind it, they decided they're going to keep it. The Shalos Tshuvos Chaim Shaul, that's the Chidah, once was told that there was a person that was making fun of Chag Gadyah. He's making fun of it and saying that it was a nothing song and everything like that. So the Rav of the person, the Rav in the town of the guy that did it, put the guy in Cheren. He excommunicated the guy for making fun of Chag Gadyah. And the guy said, it's not a legal Cheren. You don't get Cheren for making fun of a song. Why should you get Cheren for it? So he wrote to the Chidah, and he said, what do I do over here? I put the guy in Cheren. Am I wrong or am I right? The Chidah wrote back and said, 100%, put him in Cheren again. They're arguing on it. You don't understand how powerful Chag Gadyah is. Chag Gadyah is an unreal thing. Anybody who makes fun of it deserves to be in Cheren, and that's that. So what's the pshat? The Tash Bates says, the Shavsudus Tash Bates says, we end with a riddle, that people will go crazy trying to figure it out, do anything, and stay up later because of it, and discuss the whole Indian, and then go back into Pesach and start thinking about what it is. Rav Shur says this is such a culmination of the whole night. We have a Muna Pshuta the whole night long, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu runs the world. So I have a Muna Pshuta that whatever this means is something good. I don't know what it means, but it's pure and Muna without any thinking, overthinking, or anything like that. I know that there's something that we can figure out from it. Now, the Chassam Sofer says that the whole thing was a dimyon. It was an imagination. It was all a dream. The cat thought that it ate the goat. But at the end of the day, what are the last words of the song? Last words of the song are? Chag Gadyah, Chag Gadyah. The goat was never eaten. The cat thought he had destroyed the goat. But the goat remains. The goat is always going to be there. Says the Chassam Sofer, the whole pshat is that the goat was going out. The whole world was going crazy over nothing. They were going crazy over what they thought the cat went, and then the dog beat up the cat, or ate the cat, right? And then the stick hit the dog. Everybody's going crazy, because they thought the goat was gone. In the end, the goat was right there the whole time. The cat made a mistake. And the whole world had a rush. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's what it's like. Everybody thinks that the Jews are going, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. We've taken care of ourselves. Everything's going to be all good. Ben Ishkais is a famous question. Okay, this is one of the famous questions. I know.
Let's compare Ben Ishkais to the goat.
Not necessarily, but he's
the goat still there in the end.
There is a Chassam Sofer that does compare it to a goat to Ben Ishkais, but it's not that one. He says it in a different place, right? But it's both there. I was like, the Ben Ishkais asked this famous question. I will agree. This may not be the strongest of questions, but it is a cool question to be able to think about. He says, if the goat is good, right, then the cat is bad. You'd assume the goat is good, right, because that's what we're talking about. The cat is bad. That means the dog is good, the stick is bad. The fire is good, the water is bad. The axe is good, the shochet is bad. The Malach HaMavis is good, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bad. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Says the Ben Ishkai, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bad? How does that work? So he gives two answers. There are altogether four answers that I've seen to this question. Four answers that I've seen. The first answer the Ben Ishkai gives is, the cat and the dog are both bad. They stand for different nations of the world, right? And they're both bad. The cat eating the goat is Klal Yisrael. The cat ate the goat, right? And then the dog ate the cat, not for good reasons. The dog was also evil. So the stick that hit the dog was good. And that means the fire was bad, and the water was good, etc. So it goes the other way. That's one way of looking at it. Second thing is, the dog should never have gotten involved in a fight that he had nothing to do with in the first place. Get that dog out of here. The dog never should have been here. The cat and the goat were having a bit of an issue. But this dog has to put himself inside there and get involved. So in that sense, and then he got hurt from it, right? He got smacked from the thing behind it. I'm sorry?
Then there's nothing else.
Meaning everything is bad until you get to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu, we have to get involved. There's no other choice. Once it reaches the arms of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then you have no choice. But right, everybody else that got involved is bad. Everybody's bad up until a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it. Sort of goes with what the whole idea of the Chassam Sofer was saying, that everybody got involved in the middle of nothing. There was no reason for it, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu had to finally do it. Another says, the goat was bad, but the Abba was good. The father who bought it to Susan. So the father was good, the goat was bad, the cat was good, the dog was bad, etc., going all the way through, right? That's one way. Rav Wolfson says they were all mad at one another for not leaving a little bit of the goat for themselves to destroy. The cat was evil. The dog was evil for wanting to take care of the goat himself. Hey, the goat was mine. I didn't want you to get rid of the goat. I wanted to get rid of the goat. It was a bad thing in and of itself that each one of them kept going up against the previous one for trying to destroy it. It's unbelievable. So what does this all mean? What does all the ideas mean? So I have five answers as to what Chad Gadya means. The truth is, I really have a bunch more answers, but five of them are the ones that I have. Now, the first one, I'm not going to be able to go through. The reason why is because I forgot to bring it. There is a sefer called the Commentator's Haggadah. The Commentator's Haggadah. It's written by Rav Sender, Rav Yitzchok Sender, one of the old Rosh Yeshivas in Skokie Yeshiva. I was Zocha for the first 3 years that I was in Skokie. I have Blamir, you were there then, I think. Ami, when did you guys graduate? In 2001? 2013. Yeah, for sure you were there. So I was there since 2009, I believe. So since 2009, when I used to sit up front, Rabbi Newman and I had switched, I sat next to Rabbi Sender for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's who I sat next to. I am telling you, you've never seen a davening. Again, I'm not putting anyone else down. I have never seen a davening like his davening before. He was an older man. I mean, we're talking 80s. He had at least a 2-hour Shmoneh Esrei. At least a 2-hour Shmoneh Esrei. And that was for Shacharis, not Musaf. It was 2 hours. He did not finish his Shmoneh Esrei standing up the whole time, feet together, did not move from his spot until after, I don't know what we were on. We were way, way past everything else. Way past. I don't know if we were on Modim or whatever it was when he would take his 3 steps back. Every single time. I was always wild back. Forget about Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. I don't think he's finished now. Like, it was unreal watching him and sitting next to him, Davin. So he wrote the Commentator's Haggadah. Tremendous, tremendous ideas. He has a pshat over here. We got a Chagaya that I always forget. I have it down over here, and I wrote, see the Commentators I got on page 342, and I keep forgetting to print it out because it's so long. He goes through a whole history of Klal Yisrael. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea, going through Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda, explaining how each one represents a certain time, but that's for another time. The Gra is the famous one, and I think we all know it. Chad Gadya is the gematria of Yosef in Mispar Ketanios. Mispar Ketanios means take out the zeros. Yosef, therefore, Yud is not 10, Yud is 1. Vav is 6, Samach is not 60, it's 6, Pei is 8. So 8 plus 12 plus 1 is 21 altogether. So Chad Gadya is 8 plus 4, that's 12, 3 plus 4, the Gimel Dalet, right, that's 7, 12 plus 7 is 19, and then Yud and Aleph is 1, so that's 21. So Chad Gadya is Yosef HaTzadik. He was the Gadya, the goat itself. The Abba that bought him was Yaakov Avinu, obviously. Yaakov Avinu wanted Yosef HaTzadik to be the next. He was Ki'ilu, the same person, and he bought him Betray Zuzi. The Betray Zuzi were the extra sleeves of the Ksonis Pasim. He gave him the Ksonis Pasim, and he showed favoritism toward Yosef, and we all know what happens. The Shunra, the cats, is the lion known as Yehuda. It's amazing today, right? Lincoln Park Zoo. We went to Lincoln Park Zoo because we had, you know, I wanted to get all the kids out of the house, and well, I wanted to go to the zoo. They wanted to get out of the house, right? So we ended up going there. You forget what it's like. Like, you don't understand. The jaguar's out. The jaguar's an awesome cat. It's a huge, awesome cat. It's got great spots and everything. No one is there because the lion is walking around. There's 100 people standing outside the lion cage watching the lion go to and fro. There is something that we have with lions. lions that everyone connects with. They feel that there's malchus within the lion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it that way. It's amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares himself to a lion. We should compare ourselves to a lion. The first sif in Shulchan Aruch, Yisgaber Ka'ari. Yisgaber Ka'ari, you should get up every morning like a lion to do the Avodas Hashem, to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. That's the lion. It's something that hits us. That's Yehuda, who ate the cats, sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. The kalba, the dog that ate the cats, was Mitzrayim that consumed Bnei Yisrael, making them their slaves. Yehudim, the Jews, represented by Yehuda, took them on as slaves. The reason why they're called dogs is because Baal Tzafon, first of all, had a picture of a dog on it. That was their god that remained at Kriyas Yamsuf. Number two, they always said that the dogs would bark when people would try to leave Egypt. And we all know that in the middle of that night, Lo Yechratz Kelev Lashono, Lechol Bnei Yisrael, Lo Yechratz Kelev Lashono. So Kelev refers to Mitzrayim. The Chutra, the stick that hit the kalba, that hit the dog, Mitzrayim, was obviously the matzah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, I don't know which one, that caused the makos, and then finally Kriyas Yamsuf. That was the matzah that did that. From then, Bnei Yisrael were good. They had the Mishkan, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they had a base of Mikdash, then came the Nura. The fire that hit the stick is the fire of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and burned down the Beis HaMikdash, which is really impossible. Can you imagine a stone Beis HaMikdash being burnt down by flames? It's impossible. Nonetheless, Nebuchadnezzar did something to destroy it, and the Maya, the water that consumed those, that quenched those flames, is Ezra HaSofer's Torah. Ezra HaSofer and his Torah, that which he learned, that which he brought back, he gave them the second Beis HaMikdash, brought them back to the second Beis HaMikdash. That's the Maya over here. The Tura, the axe that drank up the water, unfortunately was the goring axe of Edom. Edom is known, Esav is known as a goring axe. So behind this, I have Shin Vav Resh. If a person wants to go all the way through, it's not sure. No, that's not it. Esav. Ayin Sin Vav. That's it. Ayin Sin Vav is the gematria of Shor. The Gematria of Shor. There's a connection between those two. If you ever want to look at the Marsha and Daf Hey of an Aleph, I believe it is. It's also on Maritz Chias in Bava Kama, the very, very beginning, that goes through how all the damagers that are mentioned in the Mishnah are the four ways that Edom tries to destroy us. And really, he says, it could refer to the Arba Golios, that Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever, right? Shor, Bor, Mava could be Adam and Esh, are all referring to the Arba Golios, and it's referring to the four ways that Adam destroys us, that Edom destroys us. It's amazing. And Shor, he says, the goring axe is a reference to Edom. I know. Anybody who's learned Bava Kama is going to tell me, Shor is not goring. Shor in the Mishnah refers to Shane or Rego, but it's not referring to Karen. I don't have an answer to that. I'm just saying that it could be it's all three if it's Rav. I'm just saying, but that's that. Shor is Edom, destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The Shochet, who shechts Edom and knocks down the kings of Edom, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the Shochet. But unfortunately, in the war of Gog and his country Magog, they shech, that's the Malach HaMavis that shechts the Shochet, that takes care of the Shochet, that takes care of Mashiach ben Yosef. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he represents himself, along with Mashiach ben David, coming to save Klal Yisrael. Says the Gro, that's what Chad Gadya stands for. Amazing answer. What's up, Sean?
So what did you say about the Shunra?
The Shunra is going to be Yehuda, right? That's the cat that consumed the goat, right? That sold him down to Mitzrayim, and then eventually was taken over by the Kalba, by Mitzrayim that went over there. That's the idea behind it. I'm sorry,
Anna? Didn't the donkey get taken over? Yosef went back up.
Who? Yehuda? Yosef. Oh, because he ended up becoming king, you're saying.
Yeah.
You're right, but he sold him down to Mitzrayim. He ruled over him at that time. You are right. In the end, Yosef HaTzadik was able to come back. He's a famous medrash with Nimrod and Avraham. You think he's stumping me? He's my kid. It's okay. I know. He's a good kid. The Midrash says about Nimrod to Avraham. Everybody knows this famous Midrash. It's a great Midrash. Nimrod goes to Avraham. Some say he did it when he was 3 years old. That Avraham was 3 years old. Nimrod says to Avraham, he says, it's time for you to serve what I serve. I serve fire. That's my Avodah Zarah. So you have to serve the fire with me. To which, what did Avraham say? He said, why would I serve fire? I should serve the water because the water puts out the fire. But he says, okay, serve water. He said, why should I serve the water? Right? When water gets taken up by the clouds. He said, okay, so you should serve the clouds. He said, why should I do the clouds? And the wind rules over the clouds. And it goes through all the way through until finally he says, you know, he goes into a round robin and he says, I'm not going to worship anything. And Nimrod says, all right, I'm throwing you into the Kibshan Aish. I'm going back to my original God. That's this mizmor. The whole mizmor refers to, people think that the gadya is the most important, you know, that the goat is a god, so to speak. But then the cat eats the goat. So serve the cat. No, but then the dog eats the cat. So serve that. At the end, what do you come out with? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I was much younger, years and years and years ago, maybe, I don't know, it could have been like, I don't know, 2002, 2001, I don't remember, but I was learning with a couple guys in Makor, the old Makor building, back in Beis Yitzchak, back in where Beis Yitzchak is. We were learning there, and I had a bunch of guys that I was learning with, two guys specifically. One guy, Yitzi Polstein and David Von Stammer, were two other guys. And this guy, these two guys walk in, and they were blazed out of their mind. But those are the guys I usually dealt with, so they were good. But they walked in, they sat down, right? And as we were learning Pirkei Avos, I remember. And we said something, and they
said, wait, there's no way that's true, right? Because we don't believe in God.
So I was about to answer. I had my arm like ready, you know, to fight. And David and Yossi just took over from me. They're like, Rabbi, stop. They said, where do you come from? It's great. It's absolutely great. So he said, well, you know where I come from. I said, where do you come from? My mom. Where did your mom come from? Okay, where did that come from? It went all the way back to the first person. Okay, so where did that person come from? I don't know. It came from some sort of creature that came out of the sea. Where did that creature come from? Came back from, you know, a fish. Where did the fish come from? Well, eventually a single-celled organism. Where did the single-celled organism come from? Well, it came from, you know, from the earth and whatever it is. So he said, where did that come from? He said, well, energy. Right? So he's like, okay, so your God is energy. That's Hashem to you. Whatever you go bring it back to, it eventually leads back to something. There is a point zero. Whatever that point zero is, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, like, that's what you believe in. You believe in God. They were blazed. I don't think they got it. But it's possible, right? I got it. I was impressed with them. These are two guys who were, at the time, weren't exactly the, you know, weren't doing the best that they possibly could be doing. But nonetheless, that amunah of, you keep going back there. It's an amazing idea. That's the message over there. It's next. The soul is called a goat because gadya equals chai. It's 18 altogether. Okay? So gadya equals chai. Hashem is the father. And the two coins that he spent are the two signs, Tefillin and Bris Milah, sometimes Shabbos. Right? We always have two osios with us at all times. We have Bris Milah with us at all times, and either Shabbos or Tefillin. I know we don't wear Tefillin all day, but we should. So those two signs that are with us. So those are the two things that connect. The cat is the body. So again, we got our neshama. That's the goat. The cat is the body, which doesn't recognize its master like a cat. Does a cat ever recognize its master? Doesn't care. What's up?
Don't you need a body before you put in the neshama?
No, the neshama comes first. The neshama is taken out from underneath the kisei hakavod and then given a body for him to be able to rule. But unfortunately, the cat doesn't recognize his master. He wants to rule over the nefesh and do what he wants to do. The dog is the yetzer hara that barks at you to do certain things that you know are wrong, but tries to get you to do it. The stick is musr that knocks the yetzer hara down. The fire is taiva. Because taiva always beats musr. Taiva will beat your musr and take it down. Water is the only thing that defeats taiva. What's the only thing that defeats taiva? Torah. That allows you to knock down taiva. The axe is, once a guy learns a lot of Torah, he ends up getting a ton of gaiva. And the axe is the Talmud Chacham who has gaiva and cannot stop himself. The shochet is busha, the midah of busha, to knock down that ego and to bring it down, to shech that ego. The malach hamavetz is an inability to be metakin yourself. So at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and does his tikkun. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the final tikkun. Pretty good, right? So we got soul, the soul, the body, the Yetzer Hara, Musar, Taiva, Torah, Gaiva, Busha, the inability to be metakin yourself, and finally, like Kadosh Baruch Hu comes himself. That's from Rav Shor. That is a tremendous idea from Rav Shor, from the Lekach Valibov. What an unbelievable idea that he brings out for that. And our final one is like this. There are two goats. Where are the two goats? The Chad Gadya, I know, but what's the two goats? They were brought by Yaakov to Yitzchak. Yaakov to Yitzchak in his bracha, when he wanted to give the bracha on Parshas Toldos, right? And they hint to the Seir la'azazel, and the Seir la'Hashem that were given on Yom Kippur. Now, a Sawyer is also known as a demon. Lo yizbahu la Seirim Asher Yerachta. I know you haven't done Shnei Mikravecha Targum yet. I give you the week off. But nonetheless, in Shnei Mikravecha Targum, right, we're going to see in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Achremos, you should not shecht your korbanos to the Se'irim, to the goats, which is referring to demons over here. That refers to Esav. That's the Seir La Zazel. And the Seir La Hashem is Yaakov Vinu, who was Cholak, but took the goat hairs and put it on top of his skin, on top of his skin to go through. Those are the two goats. They were bought for the same price. They were essentially the same, and that's what it means by Trezuzi. The cat is the Satan. He took the goats, the Seir La Zazel, and refuses to accuse anyone in this day. So again, the goat was bought by Abba, that's referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is our father. Bought out of the two Zuzin, in other words, the two different goats that were there, one of them was sent to Azazel, and the cat, which is a reference to the Satan, takes the goat, doesn't accuse anybody whatsoever on that day. Paras Umadai is the dog who helped build the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody know why Paras Umadai is referred to as a dog? Oh, I give a dollar for this one. It's good. You have to know Gemara Rosh Hashanah, though. In the very beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Darius II, who gave the money to build the second Beis HaMikdash, had a shegel that sat next to him. And one of the opinions of the Gemara is that the shegel, the queen, was a dog. That he always had a dog by him at all times. And for that reason, Paras Umadai can be represented by a dog itself. The stick is Greece. It's interesting. He doesn't explain why, but I think the pshat why the stick is Greece is because Yavan was known for their chokmah. And they used to walk on, the older men used to walk on sticks trying to figure out how the world went, trying to walk around. I think that's the reason why. Fire is the chashmonaim, the menorah that knocked out the chokmah of Greece and took care of it. Rome is the water that extinguished the fire of the Beis HaMikdash, that fire that they sent. And the ox is Mashiach ben Yosef. That's that. The Shochet is Gog and Magog. You notice it's the opposite of the Gra from before. The Shochet is the Gog and Magog. And the Malach HaMavis is the punishment that all the Rishayim will receive in the future. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the Yetzer Hara, allow Tumah to be out of the land, and allow everyone to be free. That's what Nisano Chaim Papa's way of understanding it. It's like the Gra, but with a little bit of a twist in going through. Regardless, that's the idea. So all of these ideas help us understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ruling everything. And that even though we don't fully understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these types of things, why does Mashiach ben Yosef have to die? Nonetheless, there's a reason for it. There's a Siva behind it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for a reason. That's what we have to understand from Yirtzah. That's the idea behind it. We should stop with that, guys.